Good afternoon. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. Before we begin, I want to back up just a little bit and reconsider this statement. A meaningful curriculum cannot be consistent. I'm sorry, a meaningful curriculum cannot be inconsistent. If it is planned by two teachers, each believing in diametrically opposed ideas, it cannot be integrated. If it is carried out by these two teachers simultaneously, each one merely interferes with the other. This leads to fluctuation, but not to change. And the ultimate point in that discussion was that the necessity is to choose for one teacher or the other, that the call was for who your teacher was going to be, and even more specifically, it's necessary for you to pay attention to whether you're getting what you want. Because if you're not getting what you want, then you need to stop listening to the teacher who brings you those kinds of results. Very often I hear people say, well, as long as we're here in the human condition, we have to do this or that. We have to go to doctors, or we have to expect problems, and so on. And I keep saying this over and over again. There's only one thing available to you for you to experience: reality. There is only one thing going on: the kingdom of heaven. It really is necessary for you to get this point under your belt and into your mind. Because there's only one thing going on, there's only one thing for either of the two teachers to speak about, to teach about. The Holy Spirit teaches about the kingdom of heaven and illuminates it to you. The ego, the voice for fear, teaches about the kingdom of heaven and calls it the world, the human condition, a physical manifestation of a Big Bang, evolution, and so on. But both teachers are talking about the same thing. depending upon which teacher you choose to listen to, you will have completely opposite experiences. But the opposite experiences will be here in the middle of the kingdom of heaven and will be happy, pleasant, fulfilling, or miserable, deteriorating, chance-filled experiences of the kingdom of heaven. You are not here in the human condition. You were not born into the human condition. You are not a spirit that was born into a physical experience. You are the Christ, uninterruptibly, uninterruptedly, unchangeably, listening to one or the other of the two teachers and experiencing the kingdom of heaven accordingly. I keep reminding you that each one of you right now is the Christ, is the direct expression and embodiment of God, right here, right now, in the middle of the kingdom of heaven. I keep telling this to you because it's so easy for you to just slip back into what I'm going to call a materialistic assessment of the kingdom of heaven. You slip back into your habit of perception rather than being conscious with innocent attention, meaning attention free of memory, to the one and only thing there is to experience. Now, what causes you to see the kingdom of heaven as the material world and the human condition are the mutual agreements that you have all made with each other and the definitions that were given by the voice for fear. You need to challenge these. And you especially need to challenge them when you are dealing with mutually agreed upon definitions that have become institutionalized. Healthcare. And all of the concepts associated with healthcare that are absolutely based upon the belief that you exist in a human condition, in a material world, absolutely blind you to your opportunity to experience health. Oh, I know. Wonderful things are being done. And I'm not challenging the wonderful things that are being done that make those of you who are experiencing limitations, that are providing those of you who are experiencing limitations a better experience. But God isn't in the picture anywhere. It's not a part of the theory. It's not part of the definition of you. And therefore, your association with institutionalized health care concepts, definitions, and mutual agreements do not lead to correction, do not lead to healing, do not lead to the eradication of what? The liability to be ill. And you must be awake enough to not just treat the medical profession as though it's God, even though it speaks with the authority of God. There are, of course, other institutionalized areas of mutual agreements. And what I want to point out to you today is that if you're going to break the old habits, you're going to have to start disagreeing with the institutionalized concepts and agreed upon definitions. You tell me if this wouldn't be an improvement over the current situation. You go into a physician and have an exam. He gets the results back. He comes out and he says, Mr. Jones, it is obvious that you are conflicted in your thinking. There is obvious evidence of it here. And you need to go home and give this your attention so that the visibility and tangibility of your individuality no longer reflects this conflict in you. You must pay attention to what you are blindly believing, whatever it is. And you must ask the Holy Spirit to help you see what it is so that you can set it aside. At the present time, the situation does not call for intervention from me, but it does call for correction from you. Wouldn't that be incredibly marvelous? It would be closer to the truth. I'm not telling any of you not to go to a physician or not to have a physical exam or not to get a medical opinion. But I am saying this, that the teacher that physicians are allowing to teach them is not the teacher you have chosen if you're on the path of awakening. And you must understand that if you go to them, you are going to get assessments that do not express the truth about you that will heal. And if you try to honor the physician and honor the truth you're going to have conflict, you will have fluctuation, but you won't have change. Who is your teacher going to be? Now, if you're going to go to a physician and you're going to value and honor what the physician says, understand who the teacher is that is finding expression through the physician's words. And know which teacher you are choosing to honor. Do it. Clearly, do it honestly with yourself and make a choice, because you do not want to introduce fluctuation without change. If you go to the other teacher, the Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you of death. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you of who you are. The present, direct expression of God, the Christ, using his mind well or poorly, and will address the need to change your mind so that you are using your mind well, and so that you are choosing for your peace, so that you have available to you an experience of singularity instead of conflict, which is naturally going to find expression in the visibility and tangibility of you called body as unconflicted functions or healing. You can't operate from both standpoints simultaneously. Now, that might be hard to take, but it's the truth. And so what do I suggest? I suggest that you not wait until a crisis to make the choice. I encourage you to deal with the cold that you think is coming on, or the minor symptoms of discomfort, and make your choice of whether or not you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit within you, or whether you're going to listen to yourself. You're not going to go to the doctor for a cold. But you know what? You are going to listen to your prior education, which you've gotten through advertising. Get ready for the summer colds. Get ready for the winter colds. Take this medicine, take that medicine. And you think, well, since I'm here in the human condition, what can I expect? Oh, I can expect winter colds and summer colds and hay fever and asthma. And, you know, after all, I'm in the human condition. But you know what? While I'm in the human condition, I'm sure enjoying reading about the truth. And boy, oh boy, does it stimulate my curiosity and interest, and it really gives me a neat high. And it's so comforting. Well, bullshit on comfort. If you're not making the choice between the two teachers, and you're trying to listen to both of them, and be uncommitted to either one of them, and feel good, you're not getting anywhere. Nothing's happening. No change is happening Fluctuation is no change. Your body is the visibility and tangibility of your individuality. Your body is not matter, it is the substance which is spirit. It is constituted of living love, arising out of the singularity of the peace of God. If you listen to the voice for fear, you're going to be in turmoil. You're going to abandon your peace. The result will be that you abandon singularity and you embrace confusing, opposing dynamics. As long as you are choosing for that teacher, you're going to have evidence of the choice. Your perception is going to be confused as well. But what's your confusion about? It's about the only thing going on, reality, the kingdom of heaven. Because whether it's the voice for fear or the voice for truth, the only thing they have to express anything about is the only thing available, the kingdom of heaven. If necessity, let us say injury or accident, puts you in a position of needing physical correction, the sewing up of a wound, a cut, or whatever, realize that when you go into the medical environment, you don't have to see it as a medical environment, because all there is to anything happening there is the kingdom of heaven, seen clearly or not clearly. But understand that those that are there who will be treating you and expecting you to honor their decisions are not listening to the voice for truth. They're listening to their best judgments based upon a faulty premise that you're just a physical organism, a piece of meat, in so many words. That has no permanence to it, that isn't eternal, because it has nothing to do with an eternal source that creates only like itself. And so you move into that environment, rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and rendering unto God the things that are God. In other words, you go in being very alert, so that your primary allegiance is with the voice for truth. Because it will tell you what will lead to correction, redemption. Not just making the best of a bad situation. The physicians will talk to you about making the best of a bad situation and will say there's nothing more you can expect. Those are words that are said very often. And those words, if you are honoring the source, will cause you to forget that you have an option that goes beyond making the best of a bad situation. And you will go to sleep and you will forget to expect a miracle. So you must be very alert so that you don't buy into the belief system of the ones who are perhaps providing you with very beneficial help. If I may put it this way, every single one of you can go and learn transcendental meditation. But it's not necessary for you to adopt the whole thought system behind it. So you can go and you can have a wound stitched up, or a bone set, or something removed that needs to be removed under the circumstances. But you do not have to buy the whole attitude and physical, medical infrastructure of beliefs associated with it. You can remain joined with the Holy Spirit and meet the immediate need and leave without ever shifting your allegiance to the institutionalized practice of the belief of a universe in which God has nothing to do with it. This is just an example, but it's a very practical rendering of the meaning of the fact that if you employ both teachers simultaneously, there will be no change, there will be fluctuation, there will be no correction. Everything the Holy Spirit tells you flies right in the face of every single mutually agreed upon definition that arose out of your decision to think for yourself and to be independent of your source. Every single one of those mutually agreed upon definitions needs to be challenged. Now, this doesn't have to be a huge battle or war. It's as I've said before. You look at the glass or the mug of water, and you say, what is the more of what God is being here that I'm not presently seeing? That's how you challenge your very definite beliefs about a glass mug of water. And you have them. But there's more there. So you start being curious. You say, Father, or you say, Holy Spirit, what's the more of what God is being there that I'm not yet seeing? When you ask that question, you're withdrawing your allegiance from your current best definitions of it, thereby weakening their control, you might say. The control they seem to have by virtue of the commitment you're giving to them. When you say, what's the more of what God is being there? you're withdrawing your investment of trust in what you already think it is. When you stand in front of a mirror, looking at yourself, and you say, what is the more of what God is being right there where I see myself? You are abandoning whatever surenesses, you have about what you're seeing. And you open the door for insight, for revelation. That's the way you challenge the status quo. You don't go out to that teacher and say, you're a liar. You turn your attention away from that teacher to the other teacher and express curiosity. You say, I want to know what the truth is here. I don't care what the physician's assessment was or what his prognosis was, because whatever it was, it didn't include what the Holy Spirit has to say. It didn't include the fact that there is a God that is omnipotent and more powerful, you might say, than the effects of any accident or injury or illness. What's the more of what God is being right here than what I'm seeing? And I'm more interested in knowing the truth of that than I am what anybody else has come up with as an explanation or a definition. You see, it is about making choices. It's not about, it's all God, anything goes. It isn't. As long as you are not awake, there's a choice to be made between waking up or making further commitment to being asleep. And remember that although it calls upon you to make a choice and then back it up with your commitment, causing you to be proactive, this is pleasurable. Don't make it work. Don't make it laborious. Don't conceive of it as being that way. Because the moment you genuinely say, what is the truth here? What is the more of what God is being here than what I'm seeing? The more of what God is being right there will be revealed to you, and that is pleasurable. That is a joyful experience. To be experiencing more enlightenment and less endarkenment is a pleasurable experience. Just because I'm saying, don't be wishy-washy about it, be direct about it, be firm about it, be decisive about it, doesn't mean get tense about it. It really just means be very clear. Let's go to the book. Okay. This next section is called The Holy Encounter. Glory be to God in the highest, and to you, because He has so willed it. Ask, and it shall be given you, because it has already been given. Now, are you the sons and daughters of God? You're neither behind the point of perfection, nor advancing toward it. You're at that point, and must understand or experience yourself therefrom. Ask for light, and learn that you are light. If you want understanding and enlightenment, you will learn it. Ah, if you want it, you will learn it. If you want to listen to the voice for fear, that's what you'll learn, fear. If you want the truth, that's what you will learn, because that's where you're giving your undivided, unconflicted attention. It's automatic. You're all getting exactly what you're asking for. What we're bringing out here is the way for you to ask unconflicted questions from unconflicted premises. And when I say unconflicted premises, I mean a place in you where you're not sitting on the fence. If you want understanding and enlightenment, you will learn it. Because your will to learn it is your decision to listen to the teacher who knows of light and can therefore teach it to you. There is no limit on your learning because there is no limit on your minds. There is no limit on His will to teach, because He was created to teach. Okay, here we go again. When you decided to be an independent thinker, an independent agent, an independent authorizer, and you forgot who you were because you blocked your father from your sight, and therefore lost your identity. You stopped being conscious of what you are, but because what you are can't change, it remained and got a new name. The part of you that you disowned became the Holy Spirit, your right mind. And as I've said many times, the Holy Spirit is your real identity held in trust while you dally with the ego, a different sense of yourself. An independent sense of yourself. Obviously, your right mind now has been put in the capacity of being that which will reawaken you, provide you with the fuller experience of what you are, until you're so yielding that you'll let in the fullest experience of what you are. And so it exists solely for the purpose of returning your sanity to you. And so it knows how to do it perfectly. Why? Because at the bottom line, even in the middle of your dissociated sense of yourself, you are whole. Again, there is no limit on his will to teach, because he was created to teach. Knowing his function perfectly, he wills to fulfill it perfectly, because that is his joy and yours. Now, why does it say "and yours"? Because the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. And for you to come back into your right mind at the hand of the Holy Spirit's teaching is therefore the Holy Spirit's joy and yours. Because in wholizing you, it brings you back into the conscious experience of your wholeness, of the ultimate of you. Continuing, to fulfill the will of God perfectly is the only joy and peace that can be fully known, because it is the only function that can be fully experienced. When this is accomplished, then, there is no other experience. Yet, the wish for other experience will block its accomplishment, because God's will cannot be forced upon you, being an experience of total willingness. God's will is an extension, it's a gift. It's the giving of what God is to what God is being. God's will is not a command. God's will is a conscious expression of creativity, the motive of which is love. It's like God letting out a sigh of pleasure, making a sound of pleasure, and in that sound of pleasure, worlds are formed. You were formed. You are being formed constantly. That's not an act of will. That's not a command. That's not a directive. It's an experience of joy and bliss from which spills forth creation. Now, if, as his creation, you have all decided to experiment with being divorced from him and having a little fun at pretending that you're independent and creating things on your own, and you forget who you are, and you determine to make things happen by sheer acts of will on your part, which is the way you live your lives, then you are not reflecting God's. will, which is a willingness. It's a gift of love. And since you have become committed to a lifestyle, you might say, of being assertive and authoritative and commanding things into existence by acts of will, coming home seems difficult because you have to re-embrace willingness. And you have to abandon the hit you got or that you thought you were getting from asserting yourself to make things happen. So you have to abandon something that you have come to think of as being very valuable, if not essential, to being successful or to surviving. And that's why it doesn't feel natural to you to yield, to say, "Thy will be done, Father." What is your will? I prefer to know what your will is more than I do what my will is. Of course, when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you his prognosis, then it's easy for you to say, "Father, I'd rather know what your will is than what the doctor said." You want to know what the Father's will is because it's so much more than anything you, through a puny act of will on your own, can bring forth. And the most significant part of the more that you would experience will be your peace, and the experience of invulnerability, that sees nothing in any form that could or would challenge it. An invulnerability that doesn't protect you from anything, but an invulnerability which is the absence of anything that one would need protection against. Again, to fulfill the will of God perfectly is the only joy and peace that can be fully known, because it is the only function that can be fully experienced. When this is accomplished, then, there is no other experience. Yet the wish for other experience will block its accomplishment, because God's will cannot be forced upon you, being an experience of total willingness. The Holy Spirit knows how to teach this, but you do not. That is why you need Him, and why God gave Him to you. Only His teaching will release your will to God's, uniting it with His, God's, power and glory, and establishing them what? As yours. Why? Because you are His son or daughter. You are His expression. And in the remembering of God as your Father, your experience of your identity returns to you. You share them as God shares them, because this is the natural outcome of their being. Now listen to this. The will of the Father and of the Son are one. Together. And these are the key words. By their extension. It's one thing to think the truth. It's one thing to relish the true meaning of love. It's another thing to embody them. They say, put your money where your mouth is. Well, I'm saying put your mouth where your heart is, so that you give evidence of what you love in your actions. That's the extension. And until it's extended, you haven't stood up and been counted. You haven't declared yourself. You're a closet Christ. Nobody will ever know it, except you. And oh, how you love to contemplate what you are truly in your closet. It's hypocrisy. It's a bunch of things. But most of all, it's you not doing what will make the truth true for you. Because until you extend it, until you give it, you don't have it. And neither does anyone else. Again, the will of the Father and of the Son are one, together, by their extension. Their extension is the result of their oneness. Holding their unity together by extending their joint will. Now we are talking about the real meaning of being co-creators with God. We are not talking about your independent will moving in consonance or harmony with the Father's will, so that there are two things moving in harmony with each other. We're talking about one thing. The will of the Father and of the Son are one together by their extension. Their extension is the result of their oneness, holding their unity together by extending their joint will. This is perfect creation by the perfectly created in union with perfect creator. The Father must give fatherhood to his Son because his own fatherhood must be extended outward. You, who belong in God, have the holy function of extending his fatherhood by placing no limits on it, by placing no limits upon it. And I've said before, when you let yourself be infilled with the Father's love, it is such an exquisite and wonderful experience that it overflows, it bubbles over, and you couldn't hold it back if you wanted to. You give it away out of sheer joy and an inability to say, I'm going to give it there, but not here. I'm going to give it a lot there and medium here. The concept can't even enter your mind because the influx and the overflow is so spontaneous. Let the Holy Spirit teach you how to do this, for you will know what it means of God Himself. But you're not going to have the experience until you choose who your teacher is going to be and give your committed full attention to that teacher. But the moment you do that, the movement will begin. As long as you're listening to two teachers, all you get is fluctuation. Oh, today's a little better than yesterday, but who knows tomorrow what tomorrow will bring, you know. But generally speaking, I'm feeling better. Generally speaking, things are going pretty well. I can't complain. You'll get fluctuation, but not change. Continuing, when you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter. Well, it's not going to look like it unless you are encountering your brother with the teacher who can remind you of who you are and who your brother really is. And if you're not listening to that teacher and you're listening to the other teacher, you're not going to know who your brother is. You're going to know who he has become defined as. Not only by his associates and yours, your associates who know him, but also by yourself. And ultimately it will be a conglomeration of everyone's opinions that you have adopted as your definition of him. And that will be a holy encounter that will be pure misery for you. All encounters are holy encounters, just like the only thing for the two teachers to teach about is one thing, the kingdom of heaven. Every encounter is a holy encounter, but if you're listening to the teacher for fear, the voice for fear, you are not going to feel the holiness of the encounter, and you will not be a presence which will transform any ignorances that still may be prevailing in your mind or your brother's mind. Continuing, as you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. And we can reverse this. As you treat yourself, you will treat him. As you think of yourself, you will think of him. Well, if you are being informed about yourself by the Holy Spirit, you will naturally know that what is true about you is true about your brother. And it won't be an intellectual head trip, it will be a heart experience. Because when you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, when you let the Holy Spirit in, you have an experience of innocence. Not a thought of innocence, but an experience of innocence that is indisputable. At first, it will be amazing to you, but nevertheless, indisputable. Just a simple, pure, utter truth. And in that realization about you, you will know that it's true about your brother, anyone you come in contact with. And when that's your frame of reference, that's the way you will behave toward your brother. You will extend it. And in extending it, make it true for you. Make it true for you because you have dared to embody it by expressing it, by extending it in the treatment you give, or you that you give your brother. Could you turn those lights on? Continuing, never forget this. For in him you will find yourself or lose sight of yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. Until you give it, you can't have it. Until you give it, you haven't embodied it. You haven't stood up and been counted. You haven't come out of the closet yet. Again, do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you. Give to your brothers what I give to you. You don't always hear what I say. Sometimes you hear what I say and you tuck it away for future reference. And sometimes you embrace it and dare to embody it and grow or change or experience a miracle. How you respond makes no difference to me in terms of my willingness to ongoingly, interminably extend it to you. And I don't feel frustrated because I'm not employing an act of will in extending it to you. It's much more satisfying to extend it, and by extending it, embody it, and by embodying it, have the experience of who I truly am. You see? That is where we will stop reading. As you go through this next week, let there be a willingness to want to see the more of what God is being right there in front of you, no matter what is in front of you looks like to you, or is determined by you to be based upon your prior definitions. Let there be a willingness to be from a place of excellence in you that you don't normally or certainly not habitually come from. And let there be a desire and a willingness to not cover over your Christhood. Your identity as the direct expression, the son or daughter of God, whose nature is love, whose value is truth. Just let there be a willingness, enough of a willingness that perhaps throughout the majority of your day you might ongoingly be aware of your desire to look and see with innocent eyes. Because in doing that, it will constitute a more consistent choice of who your teacher will be. And in making that choice more consistently, you will find yourself less and less subject to institutionalized bodies of concepts and mutual agreements that seem to function as though they were God and keep you in the dark. It portends to be a marvelous week if you do that. And I look forward to being with all of you next week. Thank you.
holding.